Thank you, Deborah. Take your Bible, please, and open it in the New Testament tonight, Revelation chapter 16. While you're turning, we do want to welcome the untold numbers of you who are watching online. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, send us your name and address through the messenger system there, and we'll be happy to mail you one tomorrow at no charge. Your name will not be put on a mailing list. Your name will not be put on a request for money list. You will not be asked for any money. We just want to give you a copy of the Word of God. Remember that the rapture occurs at the end of the church age. The church age was a mystery hidden in the mind of God from eternity past and now revealed. The church age is a wedge in the timeline. And when Israel rejected her Messiah, God took Israel temporarily, put her on the shelf, and inserted into the timeline a wedge called the church age. It is comprised of seven parts. Seven dispensations is the $10 theological word. Dispensations, parts. And when we get to the end of the last part, then the wedge is removed at what we call the rapture. The timeline slaps back together. God takes Israel off the shelf and begins to deal with her again as he would have otherwise had the church age not occurred. When the church age ends and the tribulation therefore begins, it will last 7 years. In that 7 year period, there will be three sets of seven judgments each. Each set opens into the next set, and each set is successively worse. In fact, each individual judgment and each set of judgments are worse than the first one that preceded it, the second and the third and the fourth. So we have the seven seal judgments that last from chapter 6, verse 1 to chapter 8, verse 5. They open up into the seven trumpet judgments, which chapter 8, verse 6, and they go all the way to the end, chapter 19, verse 21. They open into the seven bowl judgments, which we're going to look at tonight. The King James word is vial, V-I-A-L, and it connotates to a modern mind, at least for me, a test tube. A vial, I think of a test tube, but it's really a rimless bowl. And so I'm going to use the word bowl, and it's not doing this. I'm not changing scripture. I'm just trying to help us to understand that these seven judgments in these bowls are just up to the brim. And that rimless bowl, each of them, when they're poured out, it just flows like all the rain we had yesterday. It just pours out. I think we got nearly 7 inches of rain here where we live, right here, yesterday in a matter of hours. And it just like someone took a big bowl and just dumped it all out at once. And that's how these bowl judgments, they begin in chapter 16, verse 1, and they make their way through chapter 19, verse 21. So a lot of these are going to be running concurrently. Now, during this time, there will be a one-world government, a one-world economy, and a one-world religion, all under the Antichrist. And we've looked at the seven seal judgments and the seven trumpet judgments, and now we're in the seven bowl judgments. And last week, we looked at chapter 15, which is an introduction to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 1, all of this is future. You cannot take this chapter that we're going to look at tonight and say, well, that fit in allegorical types or in reality or whatever. You can't fit it into history thus far. It has to occur future. Okay, so let's look at verse 1 of chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues or judgments in them is filled, and in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now over to verse 1 of chapter 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials or bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went, poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and who upon them who worshiped, and upon them who worshiped his image. Now remember, the Antichrist is going to mark his followers. When you get saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, well, about 35 or 36 things happen. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is he baptizes you, he inserts you into the body of Christ. And another thing he does is he seals you in. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Another thing that God does is he marks you. He places his mark upon you. And that mark is something that is uniquely yours and his, and he marks you. Now, Satan's counterfeit of that is the Antichrist's mark of the beast, okay? Everything that God has going, Satan has a counterfeit. Humanly speaking, it looks just so good. But the devil only pays off in counterfeit money, folks. I promise you, it's all counterfeit. And so they're going to take the mark of the beast. They think this is going to make it really wonderful. They're going to be able to buy and sell and so forth. But what that's doing is they're signing their own death warrant. There will be people who do not take the mark of the beast during the tribulation, and they will be persecuted, and many will be martyred for that lack of action by not taking the mark. Now, these judgments are going to be poured out on those who take the mark of the beast. And so the first bowl, the first vile judgment, they will have sores upon those who took the mark of the beast and will have worshipped the Antichrist as Messiah. And verse 1 records the most dramatic moment in all of human history, the beginning of the first of the judgment of God upon the earth, the final judgment of the Lord. And this is the first of the bowl judgments, and we'll see God's judgment against idolatry. Verse 3, the second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became as or like the blood of a dead man, and every living soul or creature died in the sea. You remember in chapter 8, when one-third of all the life on the seas died? During the early part of the tribulation, one-third of all life in and on the sea will die. And bowl number 2 has the seas coagulate and begin to decompose like human blood does. I don't know if you've ever been around this, but human blood that is decomposing is one of the most horrible stench you can possibly smell. A very similar, but not nearly as bad really, but just very similar on a lower level is when you leave the chicken from the store in the refrigerator in that sealed bag, and it goes past the date where it says sell by, and you don't pay attention to the sticker, and you get it out and you're going to, you know, cook it, and you cut it open, and oh boy, That rancid smell just flies up and just kind of chokes you. Well, that's about the only thing most Americans can relate to with this idea of human blood. Human blood is far worse than that. And so bowl number 2, the seas will coagulate and begin to decompose like human blood does, and it's going to be unbelievable. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Now the third bowl judgment turns all fresh water into blood, not like blood, but blood. And it will congeal and begin to decompose. All fresh water everywhere. Verse 8 is the fourth bowl. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. In the fourth bowl, we have the world's most horrible heat wave. Verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. You know, the sun, which was given to mankind to provide life, will now scorch those who refused to accept Christ as Savior. And then fifth angel, verse 10, poured out his bowl upon the seat or throne of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Those tongues that just got through blaspheming God and turning against him will now be gnawed off out of their own mouths for pain. Verse 11, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So bowl number 5 is an amplification of the pain upon those who worshipped the Antichrist and took his mark. Then verse 12 says, and the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates. Now, the Euphrates River is east of Israel, where Baghdad is located. And the sixth angel pours out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, so that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. An army is coming to the Battle of Armageddon, comprised of 200 million. The Bible talks about tidings out of the east and north will trouble Israel. The army, I was this the other day listening to something or watching something on television about the murder of the Chinese people by their despotic leaders. And folks, they have killed hundreds and hundreds of thousands and probably tens of millions of their own people. And yet that country is teeming with people. The only country in the world that can field an army of 200 million is the Chinese Communist Army. They're the only people that can do it. And you know, we want to make friends with them. We buy all our stuff from them. Listen, they are going to be drawn by God against the mountains of Israel, and they're going to go right through the eastern portion where the river Euphrates has been dried up. Verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great, and great was the city. And the great city, that's Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon, that's the rebuilt Babylonian Empire, came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. That's 100 pounds. Now, we in Oklahoma get tornadoes, and we have hail, and some of them, you know, are the size of softballs. That's a pretty big piece of hail. That will kill you if it hits you in the right way. These are 100-pound hailstones. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So bowl number 7 has God's judgment on the atmosphere, which results in Jerusalem splitting into three parts and the great cities of the earth collapsing due to earthquakes and a giant earthquake, and the mountains will fall, the islands will be flooded, and giant hailstones, 100 pounds each, will fall from heaven. Now, that is a summary of the 7 bowl judgments. Now let's go back to verse 1 and look at each of them in depth. Come back to verse 1. Verse 1 and 2. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the 7 angels, go your way and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial, his bowl, upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast upon them who worshipped his image. Now that word noisome is interesting. It means there's no cure. No cure. Those who will take the mark of the beast and worship the Antichrist will be covered from head to foot with what seems to be some kind of cancerous skin condition that will be absolutely incurable. No matter how many telethons they want to hold, no matter how many people they want to beg for money, there'll never be a cure for this. No matter how much they try, no matter how much the doctors try, no matter how much the researchers and the pharmaceutical people try, there will be no cure. And lost friend, listen carefully. You need to understand that right now, in the age of grace in which we live, your soul is incredibly sick with the curse of sin. And it is going to kill you forever in a place called hell unless you receive Christ, the great physician, who is the only one who can heal your sin-sick soul. Verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial, his bowl, upon the sea, and it became as or like the blood of a dead man, and every living soul or creature died in the sea. Notice the word as, like, not blood, but like blood. One third of all life on the sea that's left will have already died. Excuse me, one third will have already died, and now the rest will all die. What a horrible stench that will be. Have you ever been around a fish kill? A fish kill? Over in Arkansas, Beaver Lake, when we used to live there, every year, almost without exception, sometimes there'd be a skip, but most often every year, the lake would turn over. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It would turn over and a bunch of fish would die and they'd wash up on the shore. And folks, that's nasty. That's just nasty. It stinks to high heaven. Can you imagine the bodies of the marine life, the bodies of the folks who were swimming in the sea when this happened, the bodies of those who die in the ships? And the stench will be absolutely unbelievable. Now it comes to fresh water in verse 4. And the third angel poured out his vial, his bowl, upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. Not as blood, not like blood, they became blood. Folks, water is the substance of life the world over. You can live without food. Most of us, don't eat to live, we live to eat. But you can live without food for quite a while. But you try living without water. You can't do it. I believe if memory serves, you can only live without water for so many days. And how many is it? 3 to 7 days? I was thinking three, so I was close. If you can't have water within just a matter of days, you will die. Most people can go without food for about a month and, not be too far out of kilter. But water, you've got to have it. You've got to have it. And it is the giver of life. And the one who created water will destroy all the water on the earth. And it will be gone. Well, what about the water that we've stored up and put in a bottle or a jug somewhere? It'll go, you pour it out and there it'll be blood also. By the way, does any of this sound familiar with the Egyptian Pharaoh and Moses? God is showing him on a small scale what he's going to do worldwide someday. Now notice verse 5. I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. Folks, then as now, there will be some folks who question God's justice. And so this angel will proclaim, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thusly. In other words, God has every right to do what he's going to be doing in chapter 16. We deserve it as mankind. If mankind got what we deserve, we'd all be dead in hell by now. But in our age of mercy and grace, God extends to us his love rather than his wrath. But the day is coming when the world will turn away completely from God and to the Antichrist, replacing him who stands in the place of God, and God will have had enough. And then he gives the reason that God had to judge this way in verse 6. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. You can cross-reference that with Galatians 6, verse 7, where we have the law of sowing and reaping. You know what the law of sowing and reaping is? Sure you do. You always reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later than you sow. And our nation right now is reaping what we have sown over the past 250 years. We are reaping more than we have sown, and it's obviously later. Now, a lot of what God is happening in our country, and it is a blessing, is a result of us sowing to good seed. If it hadn't been for what God did in our founding and our nation in the early years, we wouldn't even be here. And so we are basically, can I say this? We're living on the vapors. Have you ever gotten your car down to where there's no gas? I mean, you turn you look down and the needle has fallen outside and you're out of gas and you're just driving on vapors. I was coming back years ago in my truck from Arkansas, and it was late at night, and between Siloam Springs and East Tulsa, there was no place to get gas in the middle of the night. And so I'm driving I know where E, what it means, and where it means what it means, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, I'm not going to make it. So I would, I'm doing 30 miles an hour, I'm just really clunking along. And then when I get to the top of the hill, I turn it off, and I coast as far as I could, and I get up the other, and I turn it back on, and just enough to get over the next one. And I know, because see, the truck only holds 17 and a half gallons, and when I filled it up in East Tulsa at the big Quick Trip over there, I don't even think that. Whatever it was, might not even been a Quick Trip at that time. It was 17.14 gallons. I don't know how I did that. Because, there's a pickup tube in a gas tank that doesn't go all the way to the bottom. And so you're really literally running on vapors. Well, the nation in which we live is running on vapors. The vapors are all that's left of the good that we have sown as a nation. And we're already reaping what we've sown for the bad over the last, especially 75 to 100 years. And that's why our nation is, we've got teenagers who are attacking people, just in broad daylight, killing people, gangs and violence. We've got politicians, elected politicians to this country, who are mad about they're just mad about everything. And if it's good for our country, they're mad about it. I mean, we should be celebrating the fact that God has spared us for 250 years. And you got people who are mad about it. They're trying to clean up Washington, D.C. I wish they'd do a little bit more of it on the people level, but they're doing it with the monuments, which is good. And people are just mad. They're mad. You know what this big reflecting pool controversy is all about? It's all about the president trying to make the city, national city, look nice. You know who's paying for that? He is. He's taking his salary and paying for all that, and people are just mad as hops. And it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. And all the other fountains that they've cleaned up, that the people who are now mad used to complain about, now they're mad. We should clean that up. He cleans it. It gets cleaned up by somebody. Well, wait. What is wrong with these people? They're mentally deranged. It's demonic. It's just demonic. What's going on in our country, all the negative and the hate and the murder and the mayhem and the crime. And you got politicians who say, well, you know, we can't process all this. So if you steal up to $999, we won't arrest you. How stupid. Because all you got to do is steal $999 worth of stuff and walk out. Then come back the next day and steal $999 more. We're reaping what we've sown, and worse, and the worst of it is the murder of all those innocent millions of children that we aborted from Roe v. Wade on legally. God will not hold this nation guiltless for the murder of these poor babies who had no choice but to be killed. You see, God is going to pour out his wrath on the entire world for this, because of the law of sowing and reaping. Those who will take the mark of the beast and worship him will have shed the blood of the saints and prophets during the tribulation, and they will reap what they will sow. And the angel declares, they deserve it. They deserve it. He says they are worthy. Now look at bold judgment number 7, verse 7. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Folks, again, the sun, which was given to bless mankind, will be turned upon those who have refused the true Christ, the true Messiah. Notice, and they repented not. They repented not to give him glory. That's just stunning. That's just mind-blowing. You would think that as it gets worse, they would realize what's happening and why, and that they'd turn to God and cry out for mercy as they repent because of God's judgment on them. But no, they're not going to do that. You see, if men will not repent and respond and repent because of the love of God, they will not respond to his wrath. If they don't respond to the love of God, as we talked about this morning, they're not going to respond to his judgment either. And don't blame God, because it's their choice. They're going to choose. The two witnesses will be telling them. And all the rest, they'll know the answer, but they'll refuse to do it. They repented not. And the fifth angel pours out his bowl upon the seat or throne of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and his kingdom was full of darkness. By the way, that darkness was by choice. By choice. The darkness of our culture and the darkness of the world at this point is and will be by choice. Men choose darkness rather than light. Why? Because we're stupid. We're just stupid. Have you ever gone to Walmart? Or gone to Quick Trip? My grandkids say, somebody will wander by. I have to be careful because it's so indecent. I can't even describe it. here's a gal who's 9.5 months pregnant. She has swallowed what is the equivalent of a medicine ball, looks like. She's just huge. She's wearing a halter top and a pair of shorts, and her package is hanging over the shorts. I said, there goes Miss Dunlap. She done lapped over her waistband. And she's walking into Walmart. Ain't I beautiful? How could she look in a mirror and go, all right? She's stupid. She's just stupid. And you got guys that are no more brilliant than that. They're walking around with their pants hanging off their lower 40 acres. And they have to walk. Listen, they've got to do this in order to walk down the street. They got to hold up their pants. And when my family's not around, I roll down the window and go, get a belt! My wife says, they're going to shoot you someday. They're going to shoot you. Well, they may be, but they're not going to do it without knowing the truth. Put on a belt. Pull your pants up. I was at the mall some time ago, back when the boys were putting glue in their hair. Teenage boys, you know, about 14. Their brains have already shut off. And they're putting glue in their hair. And I went, and they were in the food area, and I was over there getting something, and I don't like to go to the mall, but I was there for some reason. And I said, one of them had their hat on backwards, and I said, are you as dumb as that backwards hat makes you look? Later, I came back around, and they were still wearing it on backwards. I said, well, I guess you are. But they got the glue in their hair, and I'll go up to them and say, you know, when you're old like me and your hair is leaving you, you'll really wish you'd been nicer to it. And they don't think that's funny at all, but their girlfriends think it's hilarious. We're just stupid people. Our clothing is for the purpose of reminding us what we threw away when we sinned as mankind sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. You have to understand, mankind, husband and wife, that's all there was. They were not dressed in physical clothing like we wear today. They were robed in the glory of God. And they threw it away. They threw it away. For the lust of the eye, the lust of the pride of life, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And God clothed them in artificial coverings to remind them what they threw away. And every single time you see people taking off their clothes, it's because they have forgotten, if they ever knew, what mankind threw away. You don't get cooler by taking your clothes off in the summertime. All you do is expose your skin to the UV rays of the sun. And you get baked. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, let me show you. This is the German part of me. Okay? This is the German. This is the Cherokee. I haven't been in the sun much this summer, but I want you to know. You know how it gets that way? Because of the sun. And all you're doing is raising your body temperature, your core temperature, like the west side of this building gets in a summertime from the unfettered sun in the summertime. And all you're doing is, listen, if wearing less clothes made you cooler, the people in the Middle East would be naked. They wear layers of clothes. Why? Well, it's because they don't know. It's their culture. No, that is their culture, but that's not why. They wear it because loose-fitting layers of clothes draw the moisture away from your body. The air flux, you know, flows in there and helps cool your body through, you know, the absorption method. But Madison Avenue and Hollywood have told our people, oh, you can't be, you know, you've got to take your clothes off. What was the first thing that the children of Israel did when they decided that Moses ain't coming back? They took off their clothes. Why? Because that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to forget what you lost as a race in the Garden of Eden. Now, Baptist preachers don't talk about modesty anymore because they don't dare. I mention it anyway because I'm probably not that bright. You want to keep your job, you don't talk about certain things as pastors anymore. Well, I'm not going to wash this over just because you don't like it. You're welcome. R.G. Lee was preaching one time, and he made a really hard point, and some guy went out there and went, "Preach on!" And he went, "Thank you," and went right on preaching. Anyway, we're reaping what we've sown. It's just unbelievable. And they've blasphemed God, verse 11, because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. The sixth angel pours out his bowl upon the river Euphrates, as I mentioned. The water was dried up so that the ways of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the Antichrist, that's the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now these are creatures of filth, dirt, slime, and of the night. That's what frogs are. Frogs are filthy creatures. After all the rain, you can hear them chirping and all that. Y'all notice you can hear them just, they're happy. They love the rain. But frogs are filthy creatures. And when you pick them up, they wet on you. That's just how filthy they are. And you can get, salmonella from turtles and frogs and all these other things. You can get all kinds of disease. And they're just nasty. They're unclean. And when this angel pours out his bowl, he sees something happening. John says, I see spirits like frogs, evil, unclean spirits, coming out of the mouth of the Antichrist and the false prophet and the dragon, Satan. You know, a lot of what our kids see on their electronic devices, on their tablets, on their cell phones, on their computers, in the games that they play, is just right out of the pit. Is just demonic. These creatures that they see are demonic. Filth. Just filthy. Dirty. And their spirits are, it says, for they are the spirits of devils, that means demons, and they're working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. By their miracles, the armies will be caused to go to Jerusalem, 200 million. See, we're headed to Armageddon right here in this section. It'll be the war to end all wars. And then Jesus speaks, behold, I come as a thief, warning the tribulation saints. He says, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now that word thief is important. You know, if a man will not hear the voice of God as in this life or even in the tribulation, he lays his heart open to listen to the voice of destruction and damnation. If a person refuses to accept Christ as Savior, whether it be now in the church age or in the tribulation age, they open themselves up to demonic attack. Jesus said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that is ready. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5. Christ is going to come at the second coming without people even expecting him. And he's coming a lot sooner than we realize for us in the church age too. And we ought to be ready. You know that phrase there where it says in verse 15, keepeth his garments. That has to do with your lifestyle. Your lifestyle. In other words, don't be like that 7-year-old kid who, after all of the rain, you see him out in the creek with all the disease and stuff flowing in the water, and he's out there playing in the creek, and he's got a shoe that's about half wore out, and all that, you know, he's wearing tube socks, about all that, you know, his sock is flopping out the front of his shoe, and he's covered with filth, and he's just as happy as he can be, thinking everything's just fine, and he just, like a hog wallowing in the mud. And then he goes home and doesn't understand why his mother makes him take all that off before he gets on her clean floors. You know, the Christian is to keep their garments. What does that mean? It means keep them clean. The Bible says that we are sewing, S-E-W, sewing our wedding garment by how we live, how we sew, S-O-W, in this life. And a lot of us are going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb wearing patchwork garments. And a lot of our garments are going to have holes in them and be filthy from all the muck that we have drugged them through. I repeatedly call this 21st century an upholstered cesspool, and it really is. It's even air conditioned. But that doesn't mean that we need to, you know, sink down into it. I believe it was, who was the author? I believe it was the author of Bunyan, who talked about the muck and the mire of sin. The slough of despond and the muck and the mire of sin. Folks, that's the world we live in more than it did even then. It was even then. And the world is just unbelievably filthy. You can't watch television. You can't listen to the radio. You can't drive down the road. You can't go to restaurants anymore without, you know, the junk on the television. Why do they put TVs in a restaurant? Why do they put a TV on the wall? I don't understand that. Now, if it's a sports place, I can sort of understand that. But you go in there, and we've had many times. Would you change that channel to something that the kids can watch? Put on Tom and Jerry, Mighty Mouse, something. Because, you know, they're playing soap operas and stuff, and if you get there, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock. Though all the girls are watching their slop operas on TV, you know, and you go in there and there's these, and folks, if you don't watch soap operas, and you shouldn't, you have no idea what they're doing on those things nowadays. It's unbelievable. Would you just turn it off, or at least put it on something that the kids can watch? For crying out loud, put it on there, something that I can watch. It's horrible. People walking down the street in the stores, and they have no sense of decency, no self-respect at all. You got girls dressing like streetwalkers, and some streetwalkers need, you know, dress better than they do. And a lot of church members do the same thing.
Well, I don't dress that way at church.
Well, what do you do? Well, I
dress different at home.
Why? Well, I wouldn't wear that to church. Well, you are the church. You are the church. Why would you dress that way in a church house? Not dress that way, excuse me, in a church house, but it's okay for you to dress that way when you're just the church by yourself. Well, they don't have conviction about it. And the dads and husbands need to help their women folk and their daughters understand these things, because women are absolutely oblivious. Unless they've been taught, they don't know. I think most women dress to be seen by other women. I really do. And this gal with the medicine ball, she's showing off what she's got that you don't have. It's eye pollution. Put it away. My grandson says, I'm blind. I'm blind. I'm going blind. The seventh angel pours out his bowl, verse 17, upon the air. And a great voice out of the temple of heavens from the throne says, it is done. Now, this will be right before Armageddon hits. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, since it was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great that the great city, Jerusalem, was divided into three parts and the cities of the nations fell. Now, depending on who you read after, it very well may be that that earthquake is a result of the second coming, the return of Christ, whose feet touched the Mount of Olives, right? And it splits it wide open. Not sure I know for sure. But I do know that one thing's going to happen. There's going to be an earthquake, and the cities of the nations will fall, and the rebuilt Babylon will be destroyed, and the islands, verse 20, will flee away. The mountains will not be found, and there fell upon men great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, 100 pounds, and men continued to blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, for it was exceeding great. Unbelievable. Well, we're going to stop right there. Pick up in chapter 17 with mystery number 5, the mystery Babylon. There are 9 mysteries in the mystery age, and mystery number 5 is the one that's coming up in chapter 17. We're out of time. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it tells us what is going to happen and why. And I thank you, Lord, that you help us to see these things so we might not participate in the things that they do, even though we're not in that time yet. And for those who are going to be living in the tribulation hour, I pray, Lord, that you will help them to see what they should do and not do, that they might keep their garments clean and ready for the Messiah who will be coming in the second coming, as we are trying to do in the wake of the coming of the Lord for the marriage supper of the Lamb. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.